See what I did there? I changed it up. Unless this is your first episode, will I keep doing it this way? Who knows? This is the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for January 27th, 2016. I am your host, Mark Cusnes. Been a week since the last episode, since I've gone weekly. It's kind of nice. I did smash up my finger, my right forefinger, on my right hand, which really sucks because I don't know if y'all know this, but I'm kind of an artist and I work a lot with that hand. I know some people use their right hand for something else quite often. I don't, but I do use it for something else, and that is drawing and coloring and doing all of that stuff. And I basically smashed it right around the nail. I got it stuck. I didn't get it stuck. I had it in the space between my drawer and the drawer. That doesn't make any sense. I had a drawer. It was open. Closed it. Didn't realize my finger was still in there. Just a little bit. Just the tip. And I smashed that tip hard. And it was bleeding like crazy. And then I woke up, because this was at night. I just bandaged it. Cleaned it out a little. Woke up at about 1:30 in the morning. And I felt fine. I went to go get myself some milk. Because I typically get myself some milk when I wake up. That time of the night, the evening, and I felt nauseous, and then I felt a little bit dizzy, and then my vision was kind of blurred, and I was like, what's going on? Did whatever I do to my finger actually cause all this ridiculous crap to be going on? And I don't know if that was what was the case, because the nausea, the dizziness, the blurred vision, that all left in under a minute. I don't know exactly how long. It was seconds, that's all I know. And then I just kind of composed myself, got my milk, because I want my milk. It was specifically at that time of the evening. I got myself some cashew milk, put a little chocolate syrup in it, and enjoyed myself some chocolate cashew milk. I don't drink regular milk anymore. It's crazy. It's cashew milk and almond milk. I like my milk to be nutty. That's right, I like my milk from the nut. Think about it, you sicko. I'm the sicko for saying it. But I had my glass of milk and then I just went back to bed because I still wasn't feeling that great. I felt a little sickish. It's like, oh, maybe I'm dying. I'll just have my final glass of milk. It's my last meal, my last glass of milk. And then went back to bed, woke up probably around 3-something or maybe 4 a.m.-ish, and then I was okay. Fingers feeling better. It might scar. I know this is all very interesting to everyone listening, but that was the thing that happened. And, yeah. So, The Witness came out. It's finally out. I'm pretty sure it was one of the first launch titles announced for the PS4, and then it definitely did not meet that deadline. But it's out on PS4 and PC, and I think there's a mobile version in the works, though I don't know how exactly that would work. But I haven't played it, and I'm not going to talk about the game itself, but I thought I would touch on the whole, the slight controversy over the price of it, being $40, this downloadable-only title and all that jazz. It definitely won't be $40 on mobile. If it was $40 on mobile, I would let anyone slap me in the face. I don't know what I would do because I cannot imagine that happening. But anyway, so The Witness is $40 and it's made kind of a kerfluffle. And I personally would not pay $40 for the game. But it's not for the reason that many people have an issue with it. It's not a matter of Is it worth $40? I have no doubts that it's probably worth $40. My problem is, personally, I'm not a paranoid person in most ways, but when it comes to content and when it comes to media, digital versus physical, I always opt for physical when I can. And I have this weird, still constant paranoia about digital media and it just disappearing all of a sudden. I look at my Steam library, I'm like, I have all these games. What if Steam went out of business? Say their Valve, VR, Vive, or whatever it's called. Say they put all of their monies into it. All the monies they got, they put it into that. And then no one bought the Valve, VR, Vive thing. It sold zero units. Say that happened. Both incredibly unlikely. I would say impossible. There's a 0% chance of that happening. But say that happened. And they had to file for bankruptcy. And nobody wanted to buy them out beforehand or anything like that. Which is also, you know, just adding to the whole ridiculousness of this entire scenario. But say all that happened. And Steam just went out of business. Lost all money and all that jazz. What would happen to my library? It would just not exist, right? It would disappear. And all my digital games that I could download, I could download them all beforehand, but I would not be able to re-download them. And I don't like that, and I worry about that all the time, which is why I love Blu-ray. I love physical games. I mean, board games, of course, you have no other option. There are digital versions of some board games, but a board game is a board game. It's physical. I just worry about that. So for me, and if y'all remember, Good Old Games pulled a joke about this that really kind of just cemented my whole feeling in feeling this way, because I don't even remember what it was for. I don't think it was April Fool's, but they just said, like, oh, we're going out of business in a month or whatever, so you won't be able to re-download your games after so-and-so date. But if you download everything now, it'll all work after we're done and gone. And then when that time came, they're like, oh, no, we were just kidding. It was like some publicity stunt that really kind of, I think it irked a lot of people, but it irked me so much that I have never shopped at Good Old Games ever again. I don't like them. I will never support them because I thought that was an incredibly idiotic thing to do. And it really pissed me off. It pissed me off initially just because I was like, great, I lost all this stuff. Even though I didn't buy that much stuff from them. But I really liked the concept of the company and the ability to play old games on new systems with ease, not having to work around or do anything on your own end. But I thought that was incredibly crappy. So for me, the problem with The Witness is not that it's $40, it's the fact that it's digital only. If there was a physical copy of The Witness out right now for the PS4 and it cost $40, I would consider buying it, because $40 for a brand new game, you know, right off the bat, is not that bad. $40 for a digital game for me is just, it's a bit much. And I don't think I've actually ever paid $40 for a digital game. I think the most I've ever spent on a digital title is probably around $25, $26 in that ballpark. And it's just because I have a hard time putting down so much money for something that is not tangible at all and could just magically disappear. Look at PT. I mean, that was free, yes. But say some company, say they sold that for $5, which it wouldn't even be that much, $5 or whatever. But say they put it for $5 and you deleted it and you didn't re-download it in that time frame, then you no longer had it. And that $5, while you may have already experienced the game and gotten your money's worth from it, it's no longer yours. And that's, I mean, there's all rights with even physical media that it's not, nothing's technically yours, but you know, physical, I always have it. Digital, I don't know. It's the cloud. It's magic. It's nothing. It's everything and nothing at the same time. So I really do want to play The Witness because I've been excited for it, but I will wait for one of the many PSN sales where it'll be discounted, and I mean, or either Steam, though I'd like to have my trophies over Steam trophies because who gives a rat's patootie about that? Not to mention the fact that they're like two Steam trophies, I guess, and then, you know, a regular, though no, I don't think there's a, no, there's a platinum, I think. But yeah, The Witness. How do y'all feel about the whole controversy regarding the price? And if you've played it, do you think it's worth $40? Or did you blow that money? So, I've been playing a few games. Pinball FX 2 came out with a few tables for the recent Star Wars movies. So these are Star Wars Pinball, The Force Awakens, a table, and then Might of the First Order. Two different tables, and played them a bit. And it's always weird talking about the Pinball FX tables, or even Pinball Arcade, or pinball games in general, because at their core, they're pinball. And pinball is pinball. If you like pinball, then it's more pinball. And Pinball FX 2, Zen Studios and all them, they really do a fantastic job with pinball. You know, they may... All their tables are fun. Some are not as fun as others, but I've never hated any of their tables. And with these two new Star Wars tables, I quite like... I like them more atmospherically than gameplay-wise, because I feel like, especially with the Force Awakens table, there is a tendency for the ball to really just go out on its own. They love the side pockets or whatever where it's ball out. And I've had times where I push the whatever, the ball launcher, and it launches. I don't have a chance to hit the ball. It hits a bumper and then goes straight into the ball out section all the way on like the left. Typically the left on Star Wars The Force Awakens. And yes, I'll get one free chance with the ball save, but I don't like that. And an argument could be made for using tilt. And I understand that. And I know that to be an, quote, expert, unquote, pinball player, you have to know how to deal with tilt and manipulate that. And really, you have to master tilt in order to get the highest scores and all that jazz. But for me, I don't like tilting as a thing. Conceptually, I just hate that as an idea. Because one, in physical tables, I think it's more of a case, maybe, I'm not sure because I don't get this deep into pinball, but I feel like it's more of a, oh, I can use this to really just in, keep my game going when I make a bad move. But in these digital versions of games, especially with Pinball FX, where they're making up tables and not just taking real tables and converting them into digital tables, I feel like it's put into the game that you need to use tilt. Like the game is broken from the start so that tilt is required, as opposed to it being a way of saving yourself when you make some dumb move. And I don't like that. I don't want to use tilt. I'm a casual pinball player. I'm never ever going to be at the top of any leaderboard. So when I play a pinball game, I'm just doing it as sort of a casual, calming experience. And whenever I'm playing a table and I find myself hitting, like getting a ball out over and over and over again, it's not that fun. That's kind of a problem with both of the Star Wars tables. Not so much with Might of the First Order, but more so The Force Awakens. Not a huge problem, but I did at least notice it. That said, I think both tables, like a lot of the Pinball FX tables, are fantastic in terms of the production values, the audio, the visuals, all that are fantastic. What I really love, so first, Might of the First Order, it's fine. Nothing particularly special that has to do all with the First Order, so whatever. That one's good. Solid table. What I really love is the Force Awakens table and the way it's set up, because that one takes place on Jakku, and I'm pretty sure all of the Pinball FX tables are in sort of an open environment, but they feel more like rooms. And what I love about the Force Awakens is that, and I can't think of any other tables that have done this, it feels like it's just in this open space. It's on Jakku, and it's as if somebody just dug a hole in one of the vast deserts of Jakku and then put in a pinball table. Put in this little pinball table. So you can just see, the vantage point that you can see as far as you can see, given the perspective and all that. But it just feels so open, and there's something really refreshing about it. And it's in daylight, so it's very bright. It's not colorful or anything like that because it's just the desert, but it's a very, very kind of, I don't know, it's really freeing. It's a very calming, soothing table to play, even though my ball goes out all the time. I really like them. They're solid tables, especially if you're huge Star Wars fans. There's no reason not to pick them up. I think it's somewhere like $5 for both tables. I'm sure you can buy them individually as well, but there's no reason not to buy them together. But yeah, those came out a week or so ago. And yeah, what can I say? Zen Studios continues making great pinball tables. What I would love to see is, and this would be awesome if it was at all possible, I don't know how licenses work, and I feel like the Pinball FX people can potentially get licenses from other companies, whereas, you know, in the same way that sort of like the Lego games can just like leech off of other licenses, I feel like, at least like with Lego Marvel, they don't, WB doesn't own, I don't know, whatever. I would love to see an IDW collection of three tables that give us one, of course, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I would die for that. Then Transformers, which would be awesome, and then G.I. Joe. Because, I don't know, it's like, hey, here are your 80s cartoons. I also played some Mad Max, and that's what I'm currently playing. I was at first worried that I was not going to like the game, but I really like it now. I think the story is just garbage. I don't care about any of these people. I think Chum, who is your little side character who stays in the back of your car and will shoot the harpoon and stuff like that, he's fine. He's kind of cool and funny and all that. But the story overall is not that great. Max is uninteresting. And, I don't know. It's just like, whatever. It's not super interesting. But it doesn't really matter because I don't think anyone is going to be going into this game for the story. What I do really like is that the driving is fun. At first, it wasn't. The first buggy you drive is not great. But after getting my Magnum Opus and upgrading it a bit, the driving feels a lot better. And I just find myself enjoying driving around the wasteland and collecting loot and doing all this stuff. It reminds me a lot of Red Faction Guerrilla in many ways. Just in the fact that you're collecting scrap, which you use to upgrade your car and Max. And there is slight destructibility in the environment. Just like, oh, here are some rock formations you can destroy. Or here are some things that you destroy and it will lower the power of a faction in this area. And what it differs from Red Faction in that Red Faction was definitely a shooter and also had much more destructibility. And Mad Max is 100% a melee game, and also car combat game. It is not a shooter. And that was one of my concerns in the beginning, was that from the controls, which involve, I'm playing on Xbox One, so the right trigger is sprint, and the left trigger is jump, and then shooting, you aim with L1 and shoot with R1. Shooting might be on the default controls on the B button, because I switched it so the B button would be dodge and evade, because the other way I didn't like it, but that's not great. That is definitely not the kind of controls you would expect from a shooter. And I was like, oh god, let this please be a melee-focused game. And that's what it is. And the melee is fine. It's just very counter-based. That's, you know, like a Batman. There's no real... You can get some upgrades that allow for finishers and things like that, but for the most part, it's very, very... Oh, wait for the Y button to pop on screen, then press it, and then you counter, you parry. The car combat is somewhat reminiscent of... What was it? It's not Driver or Drive Club. It was... that Vin Diesel Wheelman. So you can jam, you can ram into other cars on the side by pressing the X button and pushing in that direction. You can also boost into them, or and then you have your harpoon, which you can latch onto car doors to rip them off and then be able to pull out the driver, or you can pull them out from the windshield on really weak cars. You can shoot out tires. Some cars will have like oil tanks on the back of them you can use to blow them up. That's pretty much all I've had so far. There's a sniper rifle you can get for your car, which you can use to take out other snipers and other cars from the distance. I haven't tried it, but they say that Chum can drive the car while you're manning the sniper rifle, and I just have to imagine that would be terrible, but I might try that at some point. But yeah, it's very pretty at times too. And when the storms come, oh, those are crazy. Those are not good. I got out of my car and I died super fast because there's debris flying all over the place, and I got hit by like a piece of a car or something. I don't know what I got hit by, but I died, and I died fast. But Mad Max is pretty good, and I think, I don't know if it's still on sale. It was pretty cheap at Best Buy last week, I think. Maybe not anymore, but I'm sure if it's not already cheap, just regular price, it'll be discounted plenty of times from now until forever. But I quite enjoy it, and I almost want to give Just Cause 3 a second chance for this, but I think this is much more of my taste, because part of the things I didn't like about Just Cause 3 were the shooting, which is not a problem in Mad Max, because the shooting is not essential. It's a very, very small part of the game. And then I didn't enjoy the traversal in Just Cause 3. I didn't enjoy any of that, so I think I just like Mad Max more, because the driving does feel a lot better. It feels a lot better than Just Cause 3, way better than Just Cause 3, but also just a lot better from the introduction of the game. I will say that to anyone who's played it, and this is not really a spoiler, but there's no way in hell that dog survived. There's no way in hell that dog should have survived. But it did. Whatever. I also played The Life is Strange, which I'm looking at my show notes, and I put Life is Stranger. I played it, finished it, and I think it's okay. There are a lot of highs, but more lows. And so I'm going to write up something about it, something that's probably going to be very, very long. One of the longest things I've ever written. I don't even know if I want to call it a review or whatever. It's going to be spoiler-filled, so I'll try to keep spoilers out of this conversation. But it's a fine story. Part of my problem with it was that it is very high school, and while the writing is not great, and I don't really care for most of the characters, it does feel a lot like high school. And for me, high school was the worst time of my life, so reliving high school in any way is not exactly what I would call fun. But it's not that revolutionary in any way. Like the whole time travel bit, that's whatever, the being able to rewind time and all that, it's not that creative or interesting. I look at it more like, okay, so instead of forcing people to reload a save after failing something, we will give them this feature that makes them not have to deal with that. Yes, you get to learn stuff, and that is, it affects gameplay and all that kind of jazz, but it's not that special. It isn't that fun or interesting. It's almost dirty at times. It just feels like, oh, the Prince of Persia whole thing with, I don't know, that's not how this happened. Blah. And I didn't really care for it. And there were times, the thing that really bothered me is when the game took away my choice and forced me to make a decision. There's a specific decision that I'll just say the way chapter 3 ends, or is it, were they broken up in chapters? Whatever. No. Yes? Episode 3. Episode 3, the way that ends, I did not like being forced to make that decision. And I feel weird because I like the thing that you get from it in the beginning of episode 4. I like that moment, or the handful of moments you get from it, but I still don't like being forced to make that decision. So that was a disappointing thing. It's an okay game. I would. It's hard to say I would recommend checking it out because I think the first episode is the weakest because it is 100% just a episode that is for setting up everything that's going to happen. So it's just set up. It's very boring. I think the whole game in a way is kind of just boring. It's not that interesting. And it's if you loved the butterfly effect, then life is strange is the game for you. Speaking of life, I started watching a TV show called Life is Pieces, which has Colin Hanks in it, the sister-in-law from Breaking Bad, the producer who was replaced on Newsroom, and the woman who played the politician dating Finch or whatever his name is on New Girl. So, a bunch of people who I clearly know by name. But it's a really nice little show. It's sort of like Modern Family, but I feel like it's a bit more realistic, and I don't know, I feel like Modern Family, I haven't watched it in a really long time, but that is a show that's really trying to hit certain points. It's like, we want to do this, this, and this, and Life in Pieces is just like, okay, let's just show life in pieces. That's literally what it is. There are, I think, 4 stories per episode, and they're just little chunks of life, and I like it. It's sort of, if you're a fan of slice of life anime, then you might like this because it's just a bunch of slices of life. And the cast is great. The show is just really funny and fun and can be sweet at times and quirky and dorky, and I dig it. It's nice. It's on CBS. Don't know what days of the week. You can check out the first few episodes and the last few on CBS.com. And then the rest of it, you'd have to either. I just noticed that CBS has their own passing, and I don't like CBS for being like, oh, we're not going to do Hulu. We're going to do our own thing. I'm not paying for that. But yeah, it's a nice little show, and I definitely recommend checking it out. And then I'll just talk about a few anime and also a manga. I haven't watched anything from the winter season yet because I'm kind of just at this point dreading getting into it all because I've fallen so far behind that I know it's going to be quite time consuming to catch up with everything. But what I did do is finish a short from the fall season, Kagawane, which is this series of shorts. I think they're 7.5 minutes long, and there is an overarching story which I didn't care about at all, but every episode follows monsters, and until the very end they would kind of show different monsters that were based off of this original monster, or they stemmed from that original monster. And it's a not great show because the story is really just garbage, and the animation can look nice at times, but it started to get on my nerves. At first, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, I like this, it's different. And I remember that being the selling point of it before the season started. But as I kept watching, I was just like, this is really cheap and lazy. It's more motion comic than your typical anime. The animation in particular is really crappy, and the art is, it bothers me because in many aspects, it's just like photographic art. Not art. It's a photograph. And then they put a thick stroke around it. So it's like, oh, here, look, there's a line around it. We drew this or something. And they might put a filter on the actual photograph so it looks something, looks in like one way or another. And then for like the human characters, they'll take a face that was actually drawn and put it onto a human body. Or they might have a dog in an episode and it's literally just a picture of a dog with that heavy stroke around it. And it got really annoying after a while. But it's worth checking out for people who want to watch something that is bloody and about monsters. Because there's something there potentially for people who are into that kind of stuff. But I just kind of got really bothered by it all after it was all said and done. The other anime I watch, I haven't finished, and I don't know if I'm going to because there's really nothing there, is Anatore EX, which is a short of about 3.5 minutes, and it is literally just a sort of motivational exercise anime with differing girls between episodes. I think there are a handful in total, and they want to be idols, and then they help you exercise two different exercises per episode, I believe. That's the way it's been so far. And they just basically show you how to do an exercise and then do it. And there are sometimes very suggestive camera angles. It's just like, one, they only do 10 reps for both exercises. And they make them seem like they're going to be super tough. Though if you are having as much of a problem as they are, then you're out of shape to such a ridiculous degree. Also, they are already in great shape and shouldn't be like, oh, I need to lose weight or this or that. It's not the best image to send. But I don't know why I was expecting there to be a story or something. But I was expecting there to be something more than just, hey, one, two, three. Oh, this is so hard. This is so hard. But that's all there is. So you could check that out, I guess. It doesn't look that bad. It's colorful and playful and meh. It doesn't go as far down the fan service rabbit hole as I was expecting either. So that's at least good. It does have some fan service, but not anywhere near as much as other things. Then what I actually started reading manga-wise is that I thought I would check out the Crunchyroll manga app. Just check out the Crunchyroll manga side of things just because I knew that's been there for a while, and I've never actually ventured into it. And I just kind of looked and looked and looked and just picked a random book and started reading it. I've read the first 5 chapters of Inside Mari. And this is a manga about a guy who is he's either like an otaku or neat. He lives in filth, plays video games and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know if he follows her home. The male character is Isao, and he follows this girl, Mari, or she's just somebody who's on his way home when he's going home from whatever he's doing, and he thinks she's like the most beautiful girl in the world or whatever, and blah, 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 blah. He wakes up one day, and he's feeling weird, and it's because he's inside her body. And so far, what I've read through the first 5 chapters is just him and his discovery and just trying to get used to it all and figure out what's going on. He wakes up and he's like, oh, I gotta put on your clothes. Wakes up, he's eating food. He's eating breakfast with the family. He's like, oh, I don't know how to act here. Then he goes to school and it's like, oh, what am I, do I have a boyfriend? Like, how, what do I do? How do I usually act and stuff like that? And he's also trying to find out what happened to Mari. And he's assuming that Mari must be in his body because if he's in her body, then that's where she would logically be, right? And I got to the point where he found himself and Mari was not in himself. So now he's unsure of who he is or like what's going on and where Mari is. And honestly, it's really quick read. Not surprising, it's manga. But it's really boring. I don't see the point of anything I read. It's just like, okay, whatever. And I don't know. I'll stick with it a bit more, but I don't know how much longer I'll stick with it. Because what I did find on there, I don't remember the title of it exactly, but I love that Kawhi Complex, whatever it's called, the guide to doing all that stuff in a complex manner. I'm butchering the title for it right now, but that Kawhi Complex show, I loved it. And they have the manga that it was adapted from on the Crunchyroll app and on Crunchyroll, so I'm definitely going to check that out when I'm done with this. So I'm excited for that. But that's going to do it for today's episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope if you are on the East Coast, you're not under feet and feet of snow. But if you are, sucks to be you. I'm sorry. But yeah, I'm your host, once again, Mark Cusinez. Y'all can find me on the Twitter, the Instagram, the Periscope, the Snapchats, the Xbox Lives, at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm the Kush3. That is the KUSH, the number 3. On Wii U, I am Pixelated Sausage, one word. And the site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. You can find this show there, any art I do, writings, whatnot. The other podcast, Pixelated Radio, is also on there, which you can find on iTunes along with this show and Stitcher Radio and all the usual places, which it would be greatly appreciated if you would rate and review both shows on iTunes, because that really does help, and subscribe as well. Pixelated Radio is all about the video games, in case y'all were wondering. And then, other than that, I don't know. You can email the show, psp@pixelatedsausage.com. You can leave a comment on the post itself, or you can always tweet at me. That's usually the best way to get in contact with me or the show or say anything or whatnot. For those wondering, the whole reading a review that's been written on the show, on the podcast, was pretty much met with all negative responses, so I won't be doing that again, so no worries there. But that will do it for this episode. Hopefully it's an alright one. I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. Bye-bye.